this morning and enjoyed the song service. We certainly enjoyed what Brother Joe brought to our attention this evening. You get another dose of Hezekiah. So, and again, look at that. We don't look to a bruised reed. We look to the solid rock. I ask you to pray for me the time that I stand before you this morning. I'm going to get in Hezekiah's family a little bit. It's kind of hard not to get in Hezekiah's family if you're in the, speaking from God's Word, because that's a pretty large family and a great lineage from Abraham to the birth of Jesus Christ. And then what a blessed people we are. But I do ask you to pray for me this morning, the time that I stand before you. A lot of fond memories of when I was growing up. One of my fondest memories is when I was a little boy, a young boy growing up into my teen years. Archie Manning was quarterback at Ole Miss part of that time, and my dad was an Ole Miss fan, so I became kind of an Ole Miss fan. And we would that changed when I went off to Southern Miss, but I'm not talking about allegiances to a sports program this morning. I'm talking about allegiance to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of my fondest memories, though, we would cut firewood for our home and for my grandmother's home. And fireplaces were not very efficient heating systems. We were glad when we went away from a double-bladed axe and we got a wood chopper's dream. It's like a maul on one side and an axe on the other side. It made the job easier. And we're glad when we got wood heaters because my mom's mom was one of the coldest-natured women I've ever known. And a warm heart, but cold otherwise. And she could go through some firewood. But we would cut firewood and on Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, we would split it and listen to a battery-powered radio and listen to Ole Miss. Stan Torgerson, I think, was announcing the games back in that day. And some of those are fond memories. But this morning, I want to bring your attention to an account in Genesis. We're going to start Genesis chapter 17 and verse 19. I want to read this verse to you. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. This morning, I loved school. I loved it. I had good teachers, and I loved English. I loved foreshadowing that we read about in some of our literary pieces that we were expected to read. And I'll tell you this morning about the parallels. I love to compare and contrast two different things. This morning we're going to look at some of the things, some of the comparisons, and we're going to contrast some of the things between Isaac and Emmanuel. You know, one of the first things I used to do in U.S. history when I taught it, the first day of school, I would have a cardboard box full of dominoes, and the students would walk in and they would reach in and grab a domino out. And when everybody got in the classroom, I'd say, all the ones with blue dominoes get over here, green dominoes over there, and so forth. And I would ask them 25 U.S. history questions, some relatively simple, some progressively maybe more difficult. You know, they used to call it a 1-2-6 workshop. One person would make a list of something, then you would get a partner to help you, and two heads are better than one concept. You would expand the list, and you get in groups of six, and you expand the list even more. Only one time did I have a class get all 25 right. Only one time. And there was one kid in the group that got all 25 right. I asked him, I said, I've never had that happen before. Who's the most valuable player in this group? And they said Stephen. So he knew them all. It's the only time it ever happened. But this morning, as you think about some relationships and some parallel between the Isaac in Genesis chapter 22 and Jesus Christ as he went to the cross of Calvary, it's an interesting study. But you start thinking about those things, and we will look at some this morning. I just read you one. Isaac and Jesus Christ, basically, who named them? God. God, he told them, said, you're going to have a son, and his name shall be called Isaac. Isaac means laughter. You know, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 tells us about a virgin conceiving and bringing forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. We go over in Matthew, I think, chapter 1, verse 23, it tells us basically the same verse, but it tells us the meaning of Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. I convey to all of you this morning, your name means a lot. Your name means a lot. The Bible says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I understand. I trust that when I leave this world, I'll be able to leave some things of value as far as property or possessions to my children. But above all things, I want to leave a good name. This morning, I'm so thankful to have all of you here. But my mom, I talked to her about 9:15. Her power was still off. She got a Generac, thankfully, but she didn't mention anything about coming to church at Union this morning. I didn't ask because I didn't think she was good to know she was coming. But Sister Donna Miller's here this morning from the church at Pilgrim's Rest, and Uncle Claude Wilkinson's granddaughter. We love Brother Claude Wilkinson. We love him. And her name is Donna Miller. Her grandson Miller is with her. That's important, our name. But God named them both. And Isaac and Emmanuel. He changed Abraham's name. He changed Sarah's name. But let's look at some of the things in Scripture. First off, they were both named by God. Isaac and Emmanuel. Oh, that song, There's a Fountain Filled with Blood, talks about the blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. Let's look at another way that they both journeyed to get to the location of the sacrifice. They both journeyed. They came, they left their homeland, in other words. You'll find if you read Scripture that Abraham left with Isaac from Beersheba, in the land of the city, dwelt in the land of the Philistines many days. He had a 45-mile journey. It was mountainous. It took him 3 days to get there. We'll get in Genesis chapter 22 in just a few moments. But we know where Jesus Christ came from. He came down from heaven. The Bible says He came down from heaven not to do His own will, but the will of Him that sent me. So they had to leave their homeland to go to the place of the sacrifice as they were instructed by God. You'll find in Scripture that they were only one son. Now you say Abraham had a son by the name of Ishmael by the handmaid Hagar. But that wasn't the promised son. His promised son was Isaac. As a matter of fact, you read in Scripture in Genesis chapter 22, look in verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt, that means to test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. To tempt or to test. I think Brother Joe alluded to this morning. You remember when Jesus Christ was baptized in the River Jordan, and he'd walked 18 miles to be baptized. I find no other reason that he went there. Baptism must be pretty important, is it not? We know it's not for the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Walked 18 miles to be baptized. After he was baptized, he went out into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says afterward he was a-hungered, you think? He hadn't eaten in 40 days. That's kind of like what we mentioned a few moments ago. We'll get back to that in a moment. But Sarah giving birth, it was a thing of laughter. She was 90 years old. Said, how can these things be? You know, but the Bible says, I think of Brother Ronnie Lauder, who preached on Zoom service one night about this. Is anything too hard for God? You'll find it in the book of Genesis. Is anything too hard for God? No, it's not. I think, if a 90-year-old woman conceived a child, she'd probably cry instead of laugh. That would be a terrible situation. I looked in the Guinness Book of World Records, and the oldest woman to conceive, according to their documents, is 72. I argue with that today because I know about a 90-year-old woman that gave birth to this promised son, dear friends. But they came down from heaven. The Lord came from heaven. The Bible says that they skip on to the. I started to mention in where Brother Joe was this morning. After he was baptized and went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says he was a-hungered and would have eaten for certain. But the tempter came to him. Satan came to him and said, "If you who you say you are, command these stones be made bread." He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and says, cast yourself down from here. He quoted scripture, didn't he? Or quoted at it and took it out of context. And the Lord knew better than that. And he took him to a high mountain. Brother Joe told you this morning that friends, the Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity against God. I don't care what age you are. Everyone on the sound of my voice this morning, understand that. That friendship with this world is enmity against God. You've heard me say many times in my life, the things I would love to go back and do over again are things that I did that was contrary to the lessons and instruction I received in a godly home and contrary to what's written in this book. I wish I could do some things over, but I don't have time to get into this morning. Pray for me as we try to wrap this thing up this morning about as we look in Genesis chapter 2 and make parallels to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made at the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 20, he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." You talk about some terrible news. We told Hezekiah, I got some terrible news, that he was going to set his house in order. He was going to die and not live. But friends, this dear brother was told to take his only son, whom he loveth, take him into a land that I will show thee, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord. I can't even imagine. That's how I had cleaving firewood, spreading firewood. We did it to warm homes. We didn't do it to sacrifice one of the children, one of the beloved sons of my precious daddy, dear friends. But think about it this morning. What a terrible thing that must have been in the eyes of Abraham and in his ears to hear these things. But what did I read to you a few moments ago? I'm going to bless this brother. I'm going to bless this son of yours. And all the nations will be blessed because of him. And he said in one place in Scripture, he said, there's going to be a lot of kings that will come from this lineage, dear friends. One only begotten son. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 3, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten son." We'll find another place in Scripture in John or 1 John. I forget right now. 1 John, I think it is, in chapter 4, perhaps. He talks about when the Lord being, he said, the Lord's love was commended toward us when he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we may live through him, and he became a propitiation for our sins. I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on this morning. You understand that if you compare these two, they were both descendants of Abraham. We talk about that lineage in Abraham. We talk about Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah. And this is, we talk about, we get down to the line of the tribe of Judah. 42 generations that transpired from Abraham. We're talking about 1,700 years from the birth of Abraham to the birth of Jesus Christ. 42 generations. In that group, you'll find, we mentioned this morning, Brother Joe mentioned, you'll find a man by the name of Ahaz begat Hezekiah, and Hezekiah begat Manasseh. You'll find another lineage that is Salmon begat Obed. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, and David begat Solomon, and so on, dear friends. Think about this for a little while this morning. Think about the birth. Let's contrast that for a minute. There was amazing birth that took place in this situation. One by a 90-year-old woman. The other, Bible scholars say, was probably between 12 and 15 years old and was a virgin. We're talking about the ends of the spectrum there for sure. The Bible tells us that, the Bible doesn't tell us, excuse me. But Bible scholars, as I read these commentaries on this, would tell us that Isaac, they believe, I used to think Isaac was a little boy when this happened. I got one verse in just a minute we're going to show you he was not a little boy. Bible scholars and those that comment on the Bible, the Gill's commentary and Fawcett and so forth, the ones that you may look to, like Brother Ricky Harco said, the Bible shed a lot of light on commentaries. But I do read those commentaries sometimes to try to gain things from it. And most Bible scholars believe that Isaac was between 18 and 39 when this event happened in Genesis chapter 22. That's going to be more beautiful in just a moment. You already know where I'm going, but think about these things. Most Bible scholars will tell you Jesus Christ was 33 years old when he went to the cross of Calvary. They're going to tell you that Isaac was a similar age, drawing a comparison again between the two. In some ways they compare, in some ways it's a contrast. They're two totally different things. One thing you've got to remember is they both carried the wood. They both carried the wood. Look with me as we continue reading in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. You know, there's another comparison right there. There was God or the Father. Let me put it that way. There was the Father, the Son, and two men. Now, you'll remember, and I'll talk about this a little more in just a moment. You remember that Abraham sent the two men that went with him away. He said, y'all wait here while me and the lad go yonder and worship. We'll talk about that, trust as we continue looking at this morning. Of course, the thief and the robber was on the cross with Jesus Christ, and God the Father was there with him. He said, Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and split the wood, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I'd love to have heard that worship service. Don't you know that daddy prayed fervently? You read in Hebrews chapter 11 about the faith of Abraham. I'm talking to you this morning about the faith of Isaac. The faith of Isaac was incredible as we look at this account in Scripture this morning. But I'd love to have heard, I bet Abraham prayed his heart out. I bet he prayed before the Father, said, Lord, I remember you telling me that we were going to give birth to this son. I'm 100 years old. My wife was 90 years old. We're going to give birth to this son, and you're going to bless him. And you're going to bless all the nations of the world because of this one child. He remembered those things. We continue. He said, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they were both of them together. They were going up to the Mount Moriah, where he told them, go into the land. That's Mount Moriah, is at Jerusalem. Now, a two-year-old, an infant boy, is not going to take. Now, he referred to him as a lad. Yes, he did. But I think maybe in somewhere in the book of Exodus, and I forget where it was, but there was a point in life where Joshua, the son of Nun, was referred to by the same appellation, if you will, and he was only, he was 53 years old. You know, I don't care how old my son gets, he's still going to be daddy's little boy. He wouldn't like me calling him a little boy, but that's who he is. He's grown up now, but let's move on. He said he took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Isaac had to take the wood up the mountain for the sacrifice. You know, in Matthew, Brother Joe was there just a few moments ago in Matthew chapter 12. He was in around verse 20. But you go a little further into verse 29. It mentions this. How shall a man enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods unless he bind him? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, but if I went into Brother Jamie Fredette's home to steal things from his house, I better have a weapon. I don't think he may just give it to me, but I don't think he's going to let me just come in and take it. I don't think I can steal. That's what they were saying here. You can't go into a strong man's house. Which one was the strongest here, a stronger between the two, Abraham or Isaac? Abraham was 100 years older than the son. The son could have said, no, you're not sacrificing me. It ain't happening. But you gotta bind the strong man, don't you? You gotta bind the strong man. And that's what happened here. There's so many things that I see the obedience and faith of, let me turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 for just a moment. And I want to read some to you. This is in the Faith Hall of Fame chapter, is what we call it, in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look in verse 17 for just a moment. It said, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. We'll stop there. God was able to raise him up from the dead. So we have a... You know, I don't doubt that Abraham was still strong, because he lived to be 175 years old. If you read Scripture, you'll find out he died at age 175. But I bet he was weaker than Isaac as far as physical strength was concerned. No question in my mind. Isaac had been taught about what the Lord promised about to Abraham about his life, and I believe he was a willing character in this sacrifice. I believe he's a willing character, a willing participant. You can find in Scripture he was. He was willing to go. He trusted his Father. He had faith in his Father. He had faith in his Heavenly Father. You know, we find again so many ways that they both questioned their father, didn't they? They both questioned their father. Look here in verse 7. It says, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He questioned his father. He said, Father, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where is the sacrifice? That's a good question. You remember a question that Jesus Christ asked on the cross of Calvary? He was on the cross from about 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon for 6 hours. The Bible tells us that from about noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour, the sun did not shine. It was total darkness on the face of the earth. Total darkness. And said about the ninth hour. You've heard me say this many times. One of the most beautiful things in Scripture to me. About the ninth hour, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I believe, you heard me say it many times, you'll hear me say it again if you continue to lie and try to preach before you. I believe as soon as he got out of his mouth, the S-U-N began to shine again to tell the S-O-N, oh, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Both of these fathers loved their Son. God the Father loved Jesus Christ. He says over there, when he's baptized in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, he said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Another place in Scripture, in John 10, 17, where we talked about the my sheep hear my voice and so forth. He talks about there, about, I can remember my train of thought this morning, in John 10, 17, he said, I'm not even in the wrong place. He said, My Father loveth me, for I lay my life down to raise it again. I believe that if Isaac knew that he was going to be raised again, one of two things that had to happen here. Either Abraham was going to be stopped from, he had to slay his son before he offered him as a burnt offering. That was going to happen. Or after it was all over, God was going to raise him from the dead. Is there anything too hard for God? You find the submissiveness of both Isaac and Jesus Christ in the sacrifice. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, how the Lord prayed? This was the night before he was to be put to death. Not for his sin, for yours and mine and all the elect family of God. He went in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible says he asked his best friends, Peter and John, maybe James, Peter, James and John, perhaps to watch. He said, Watch while I go yonder and pray. He was going to have another way they're like. They had a worship service before the sacrifice. Oh, don't you know he poured out his heart? He did. You find in Scripture he poured out his heart. We know a little bit about what he prayed there. The Bible says his sweat now fell to the ground as it were great drops of blood. It wasn't drops of blood. There was no redemption at Gethsemane. The redemption came the next day on the old hill of Calvary, dear friends. It's called Golgotha, the place of the skull. What did he pray? Father, talking to his Father, our Father. He said, If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. You know, they were both mocked, weren't they? They were both mocked. That's what put Hagar and Ishmael on the road. Because Mama, old Sarah, we hear a lot, I don't hear much about it anymore. I'm not in the schoolyard anymore. I used to hear a lot about bullying. We called it survival of the fittest when I was in school. Now they call it bullying. There's some bullying that goes on, but it's not a lot of it, I don't think. And if your child, his grandchild is bullied, yeah, you need to go to the school and do something about it. But he was making fun of a little brother, Isaac. Ishmael was, and Sarah said, "This man, this boy's got to go. Him and his mama's got to go." And that's a story for a different day too. But oh, we think about the ways that these were similar. The submissiveness of the son, the submissive will to submit to the will of the father, because the father either was God or had been instructed by God. Similar ages. I already mentioned that this morning. They were both loved by their fathers. They were promised sons. There was a substitute. You know, as we continue reading here, and my time is about up. So Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, son, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. If my dad had been 100 years older than me, I don't know if I'd have been so submissive. But he was submissive to the will of the Father. And allowed himself to be bound. Jesus Christ was bound on the cross. I mentioned a few months ago about both of them getting mocked. You don't think our Savior was mocked at Calvary? Those that passed by wagged their heads, saying he saved himself. Excuse me, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. They said, you know, if you who you say you are, get yourself down from the cross. I don't have to tell you, dear friends, Jesus Christ was in great agony at that time. This willing substitute, the propitiation of our sins, suspended on the cross of Calvary. And people walking by said, even the two that were suspended in the air with him on the cross reviled him, made fun of him. Said, "Yeah, we remember you saying, you know, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, you'd raise it again." You know what? You know, Jesus Christ, understand this morning, I believe he could have come down from that cross, but he couldn't come down. Isaac had a substitute. You and I had a substitute for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm out of time. There are probably other things we could draw comparisons and contrast to these things. Brother Joe has preached to you so ably this morning. We don't look to a bruised reed. We look to the God of the heavens and His Son, Jesus Christ. I heard Brother James Conley preach a sermon one time, I think in Midland Creek, about the right hand and how it's a place of a distinction and a place of honor. And that's where our Lord is right now, at the right hand of the throne of God. "Oh, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Oh, He loved His Son. He loved His Son and His children way above what I'm able to love. I don't have that capacity. It's been a tough week. You know, I went Wednesday afternoon to funeral services for Graceside Service down at Magnolia for a lady. I spent the night in their home many times. Their son, Dr. Woody Rhymes, was one of my classmates. Miss Glory was 87, worn out and time to go home. Had a stroke and passed away 2 days later. Her son, Woody, preached the graveside service, said Mama was in the nursing home for 2 days. 2 days. And went home. You know, Sister Ramona, that same, I went over there for a grave. It's just a short distance away. Oh, a little girl named Elsie Jane Goza. Sister Ramona, they were about the same age, I would think. Elsie Jane Goza, you know, when you get in fourth or fifth grade, sometimes boys, some of them don't like girls, and some of them have crushes on girls, usually it's older girls. I was probably my first crush, is Jane Goza. Cheerleader at South Pike. Coach Don Presley used to have all kind of sayings. He said she was pretty as a speckled puppy in a red wagon. Let's put it in biblical terms. over in Song of Solomon, where he say, "My beloved is to me as a cluster of campfire on the cliffs of Angeti." Those purple flowers. I looked that up one time. The beautiful purple flowers on the cliff of that mountain. But I remember when I was in high school that Jane Goes had developed a brain tumor. She was born November 3rd, 1953, the grave marker says, and died May 16th, 1973, at age 19. We had moved away from Pike County, but we had a lot of people update us on progress and Magnolia News. And I remember the day I heard that Jane Goes had died, I cried. But I got a dose in reality. I stopped by the funeral home Friday afternoon. Where another young mom passed away at age 43. Friday night was tough. Usually I sleep through bad weather. I didn't sleep much Friday night. The wind was blowing so hard. I could hear the hail hitting. And you look outside, I've never seen lightning like that either. I look outside and it's like you could the wind blew it out of your hand. You could have read the newspaper in my yard. It was so light outside, the way the lightning was flashing. And then yesterday was the 18th anniversary of the death of my companion. Friends, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, "I've overcome the world. There are better days ahead." Brother David Montgomery said, "We ain't had the best meeting yet. The best meeting is coming." Good old Isaac had a substitute, didn't he? He had a substitute. There were some third day applications here. We don't have time to get in today. Our time is up. I encourage you to go home and study and think about the ways that these were similar. But the great difference is there was a ram caught in the thicket. But for the Son of God, there was no substitute. There was no substitute. God sent His Son. Yeah, He came from a far country. He came a long way. But I love what my dad used to say about that. You know, I know two things about heaven. I know more than that, but two things my dad said: it's up, and it's only a day's journey away. Because he told that thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I know so much that he said about this. This morning, by trust, as we just scratched the surface of the relationship between Isaac and Jesus Christ and the sacrifices that were being made. But I encourage you to study those a little bit more yourself this week. I'm going to tell you, it was a blessing to me to go back and when I really realized, I used to think Isaac was a little boy when this happened. But little boys can't carry all the wood up the mountain. That can't happen. You know, they said that Moses, when he died, was 120 years of age, and his eyesight was not dim, and his force was not abated. He was still a strong man. And his eyesight was still good. He looked over into Canaan's land, and the Lord told him, said, "Look, but you're not going to enter." And I tell you before, I got to close this morning, but I used to think that was unfair. And I heard Brother Sam Bryant preach one time out at Mount Gilead, I think. He said, you know, he used to think that wasn't fair either. That Moses had done so much of the will of God and didn't get to enter Canaan's land. But friends, from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight. He went to a better place in Canaan's land. He went to a better place in Canaan's land. But I'm thankful this morning, I trust you are, of Isaac's submissiveness to his father and the example he set for us. Honor thy father and thy mother that the days may be long upon the earth. New Testament says, "Honor thy father and the mother in the Lord, for this is right." And I appreciate your patience. I've gone over time this morning, but I heard the alarm sound a few minutes ago. Brother Dick could trace that out and see whose alarm went off and charge him the customary $25. But we trust this morning. You got anything what I tried to write? Go back and study this. I didn't do it justice this morning. But I saw some beauty in it. I can tell you this. The submissiveness of Isaac to allow his 100-year-old daddy, who was 100 years older than him, to bind him and lay him upon the altar to offer him as a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord. He said, Daddy, I'm willing. And that's what the Lord says. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this morning.